Welcome now to the Midday for a Thursday. I'm Norman Gilliland. Happy to be back in our Buck studio because that always means live music during this hour. Of course, we'll have a quiz question for you, too, at 12:30. And today we'll invite you to identify the creature being described, as we occasionally do. In the meantime, and after that, too, lots of conversation, lively conversation and live music from my guest today, the piano phenomenon, Maxim Landau. Welcome back to the Midday.
Oh, thank you very much, Norman. It's fantastic to be back.
And now you'll be performing live here in the studio for the first time. You've been by to chat about upcoming concerts a time or two. Am I right? The last time that we saw you was the Rachmaninoff?
I think it was
Beast of a Concerto at a concert on the square.
Oh, absolutely. And it was, I'll never forget that entire experience. I look out and it was right by the Capitol building. I think, I don't know how many people exactly were there, but it must have been at least over 50,000, somewhere, you know, in that ballpark. And I just look out at the Capitol, you know, the dressing room is one of the, I think, presidential suites in their best dressing room you could ask for. And you're just seeing, you know, just swarms and armies of people. It looks like, you know, a stadium full.
They're out there hungry for music. Those concerts by the Wisconsin Chamber Orchestra, concerts on the square, and Maxime is in town in Madison to perform with the Chamber Orchestra tomorrow night, the Brahms Piano Concerto No. 2, and also on the program there will be an early Haydn symphony, and also some work by, let me see, it'll come to me in a second. Gerald Finzi, I believe. And then the latter portion of the concert tomorrow night will be that Brahms Piano Concerto, which we're going to be getting into a little bit later. But in the meantime, gosh, you're online with these prize-winning performances, the Liszt First Piano Concerto, which is a heck of a thing to see and hear, and you can find that online. It's on YouTube, I think, at the Carnegie Hall concert with the St. Paul, no, which orchestra?
Oh, yeah, St. Louis, absolutely.
Okay, yeah, wonderful concerto, too.
I'm sorry, not St. Louis, the Orchestra of St. Luke's.
St. Luke's, yes.
That's the one.
There you go. I knew there was a false note in there somewhere, the only one we're going to be hearing during this hour. But phenomenon to watch as well as to listen to, Maxim Landau. Now, do you have Wisconsin connections?
I do, absolutely. My mom grew up in Madison, Wisconsin through all of her life, through all of her childhood. My grandma still lives in Shorewood Hills. Same thing with my aunt and my uncle, and they're actually just a couple doors down from each other. It's completely ideal whenever I get to play in Madison, because when else am I going to get a chance to spend, you know, quality family time, especially over here? It's just the perfect setup.
Well, thanks for taking time out from the family to be with us during this hour of the Midday. You have this broad repertory, but a fair amount of it is just this crazily difficult, fast, vibrant stuff. You think of that as a specialty, or is that overlooking the more quiet, sensitive, lyrical side of your repertory?
Oh, man. I mean, honestly, it's so hard to put a pin on what I get attracted to music-wise, because it changes on a day-to-day basis. I think basically the way that I work is I just listen to some kind of recording that I stumble on, whether it's on YouTube, whether somebody's playing it in a car, or I'm listening on the radio, and I feel like I need to play it in that second, whatever it is. And oftentimes it is a virtuosic, you know, highly pianistic piece. I mean, I'd be lying if I didn't say I'm, you know, totally unraveled by that kind of style. But, I mean, there are so many pieces that have the most beautiful melodies. I think, I mean, take Brahms, for example. His intermezzos are just the most personal, deeply close to the heart, touching music that I can think of. And especially the harmonies that he puts in there, it's impossible for me not to fall in love with it, or anybody, I think.
Yes, that late Brahms in particular, there's something about it that is really engaging, really draws you into his frame of mind in those late years.
Yeah, he kind of transports you into another world, I think.
Well, you're going to be doing quite a bit of transporting for us during this hour, and we mentioned variety, and we'll have it, too. For example, now, what's this Shostakovich piece that you have in your fingers?
Oh, yeah, so this was, I guess I can tell a quick story about it. there was this Juilliard gala that comes up, I think, once every year. And I was lucky enough to get asked to play something there. And instead of wanting to play something that's already written by a fantastic composer, because I'm stupid, I'm not really why. But I came up with the idea of kind of, doing a transcription. And I'd done a couple of those before, but I think at that time I could not get this Shostakovich second waltz out of my head from his jazz suite. And also because I've been going to so many jazz concerts at the time, so it was just kind of embodied in my system. And I was playing around with different ways to go about it, but I really had nothing. And I kind of, this is the last thing I should ever do, but I kind of lied to the person who was in charge of the entire gala and told them, I have this arrangement. It's all written out. It's composed. No need to worry. I'll have it, by the deadline. Of course, I didn't, even know where to begin. And as all things are, it was kind of a very last minute put together. Once I had it, I just couldn't get it out of my mind. So this is just my own little virtuosic rendition of it. If anybody doesn't know the Jazz Suite and this amazing second waltz from it, it has the most hauntingly iconic sax solo in the beginning, and I think that's what propels the entire piece. Shostakovich. Thank you.
Everybody take a deep breath. As you forgot to breathe during that phenomenal barnstorming rendition of a waltz from one of the jazz suites of Shostakovich.
I should probably relabel it, aside from waltz. It's probably more like madness.
Well, yeah, actually, you are involved in a project called Into Madness, and I was thinking of that. And I was also thinking of, next time maybe you'd like to work this up for us, the Horowitz Stars and Stripes Forever.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We have to reserve that for 4th of July.
Okay.
100%.
Okay, you're already booked. We'll see. I remember Horowitz later in life, during an interview, he started to play it, and he said, I can't play that. You know, he just gave up on it. It is crazy, but he had recorded it back about 1947 or something, and it's just as crazy as this.
Absolutely. I know exactly which interview you're talking about, because I must have watched that at least 1,000 times.
Yeah, with Harry Reasoner, I think it was, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, in case you've just joined us, you're listening live to Maxime Landau here in our Buck studio during the midday today, and he's sharing some of his musical brilliance with us, dynamic to the last note. And from Shostakovich, this would be, at least intellectually, quite the jump from Shostakovich to Florence Price.
Absolutely. This is, I think, as big of a jump as you can get. But actually, this particular piece by Florence Price, which is based on the old spiritual Sinner Beware, it's written in a very, very pianistic way, full of these cascading runs. But I think it really delves into both this kind of twisted beauty, along with, because it is kind of a warning, you know, of a piece, Sinner Beware. You don't really mess around with where you're going. You don't really know where you're going to end up. And this was actually one of the first pieces that I thought about. I was kind of designing this Halloween theme program that I'm actually going to play at the Farley's house.
Oh,
which I'm really excited. It's a little late for Halloween, but
is that tomorrow?
That is the day after tomorrow.
Day after Minnesota be
should be Saturday.
Oh, Saturday at, yeah, Farley's in Madison.
Exactly.
And, Halloween program.
I mean, Halloween is probably my favorite time of year, so I was just looking for as many, whatever crosses into my mind as Halloween, and then I came across this wonderful
piece.
There's
lots of stuff, as it turns out, for Halloween.
So many things. Yeah, there's so many different possibilities. But this is one of my favorite new pieces that I found. And this is Sinner Beware, a spiritual that Florence Price does her really brilliant take on.
Thank you.
Sinners beware, or else, as a piano student, you might have spent the rest of your life trying to learn that piece and not coming up to the standard of our guest today, Maxime Lando. That was Sinners Beware, an arrangement by Florence Price, whose music is constantly being, I'm going to say, discovered in many cases because it was unknown, much of it, till quite recently.
Absolutely. I'm actually really excited to do Florence Price's Piano Concerto in a couple months. Is another gorgeous piece. It's
Where just, will you be doing that?
I'm going to be doing that with the Kennett Symphony, which I believe is in, I don't want to get the state wrong, one of the 50 states.
One of the 50 states. It's a pretty safe guess there that the Florence Price Piano Concerto will turn up there with Maxime Lando. And we'll get to our quiz question right after this here on WPR. I've still got that tune running through my head now. Sinners beware. And it was mad, but beautiful, Maxime, the way out of all those notes, you brought out that melody.
Oh, thank you. I mean, that goes so much credit for Florence Price for constantly finding new, innovative ways of finding ways for that melody. Because, I mean, you know, there's only, yeah. It's not a very long melody, and there's only so many things you can do. But it seems like every time she does it, you know, it's something gets transformed into, you know, another way that I would never think of looking at it.
Endlessly varied. Now we come to our quiz question here at 12:30. Yesterday's question went like this. Cows are really good at this act. Only about 1 out of 5 or 1 out of 10 people can do it, though. It can be learned, however. What act is that? Cows are really good at wiggling their ears. Yeah. And people, some people can do it. Some people can't, if what that's worth. That was yesterday's question. Here's today's. Identify the creature. It comes from our creature feature department. What's being described in the following? And they're in the news these days, too. The mariner circles and swerves as they rattle his boat and his nerves. Are they playing? Well, maybe, but their rock-a-bye baby might be meant to shake out some hors d'oeuvres. What does that refer to? as I say, in the news lately, here and there. The mariner circles and swerves as they rattle his boat and his nerves. Are they playing? Well, maybe, but their rockabye baby might be meant to shake out some hors d'oeuvres. What are they? You have 27 minutes to identify them the usual ways by emailing us at midday@wpr.org, or you can call 1-800-442-7106 and give your answer to Amanda. And from the names of our correct winners, or correct respondents, we'll draw the name of our prize winner for today just before 1 o'clock. And now back to my guest, Maxime Landau, here in our Buck studio with live music and conversation, insights, and some great discoveries, musical discoveries. We have, for example, some more Americana that you have lined up, and it's actually another spiritual.
Absolutely, yeah. And this is actually the student of Florence Price, Margaret Bonds, another fantastic composer. And this particular piece is called Troubled Waters. Thank you.
Did you leave any key untouched, Maxime? I think you hit them all there, didn't you?
Well, I'm always so surprised at the modulations that Bond puts in this piece, because as soon as I think that I know where One Direction is heading, then she throws a total curveball and kind of hits it in a new direction.
I was going to say, stylistically, too, in terms of first, I thought, oh, yeah, this is kind of jazzy. And then it's like, whoa, no, it's definitely more, you know, folk spiritual, and then I don't know where.
Exactly. I mean, that's what I love about it. It's just so many different kinds of styles kind of merged into one piece.
We are going to hear more from my guest today, Maxime Landau, and I'll repeat our quiz question, too, right after this here on WPR. Our quiz question for today comes from our creature feature department. Identify the entities, let's say, being described in the following. The mariner circles and swerves as they rattle his boat and his nerves. Are they playing? Well, maybe, but their rockabye baby might be meant to shake out some hors d'oeuvres. What does that refer to? You have now about 17, let's say 18 minutes to identify it by emailing us at midday@wpr.org, or you can call 1-800-442-7106 and give your answer to Amanda, and we'll send out a prize to somebody who has the right answer. We'll figure that out just before 1 o'clock. Now back to Maxime Landau. He's in town. He's in Madison to perform with the Wisconsin Chamber Orchestra tomorrow night. It's a concert that includes the Symphony No. 13 in D by Haydn and Love's Labor's Lost, the Suite by Gerald Finzi, and then the Brahms Piano Concerto No. 2, which is, you tell me, Maxime, quite the handful.
Yeah, I mean, I think especially among pianists, this is one of those cult pieces, right up there with Rock 3 or Prokofiev 2. This is just, especially whenever I'm at Juilliard and anybody is practicing Brahms 2, you'll literally watch, like, there's at least 20 people watching them practice it, all with the scores out, you know, just saying.
Oh,
like,
that's fun.
Yeah. Because, I mean, this is like one of those just absolutely, I know I used the word iconic before, but it really is iconic. But it's a beast of a piece. There's so many different layers. It almost feels like there's four piano concertos written in one. I think every movement has the possibility of being its own piano concerto.
True, yeah, in terms of just sheer size. Well, as long as you're here, the piano's here, you want to guide us through a little bit of it?
Absolutely. Yeah, so I'm trying to even think where to start. I mean, the first thing that I can really say about the Brahms Second Piano Concerto, it's so much a collaboration with piano and orchestra. So in so many ways, it almost feels like chamber music that you're playing, which is also, I think, really, really an interesting way of seeing it with performing with the chamber orchestra, because in some ways you have some of those multi-layered instruments being stripped down a little bit, but you still maintain that feeling of the Brahmsian nature, and none of that gets lost. And if anything, I think it feels almost closer to the heart. You know, everything feels so much more personal this way.
More intimate with
exactly.
It's smaller scale.
Yeah, it's more intimate, and at the same time, you still have, you know, all of that power that you expect and that you would come to love from this piece. I mean, one funny thing that I was actually reading up a little bit earlier on, Brahms said to, I think, Clara Schumann, as soon as that he was finished writing this concerto. He wrote it in, I think, approximately 2 or 3 years, which for Brahms was quite a long time. So he really revised it and tried to polish it over. And then he approached Clara and said, yeah, I have this small piano concerto, and it has a beautiful little second movement, this little scherzo. You know, he kind of played it off like that. And I think that's just so funny because this is such a monster of a piece. So that being said, the piece begins with a gorgeous French horn solo. And that's kind of the main motive that's going to be circling around the first movement. And it's immediately answered by the piano, which follows in. And then back to the horn. I love this beginning because it comes out of nowhere and it almost feels like the world is being created.
It does.
You know, it's like, you know, the universe, whatever happened before the Big Bang, you know, that's kind of what I always imagine. It just starts out of nowhere. You have no idea what direction it's going to move in. And slowly the other instruments begin to join and the strings begin to join. And it's actually not very long before you have the very first piano cadenza, so to speak, which is already this turbulent, sudden shift where the piano comes in. Instruments just exploding into this absolute, I don't want to say apocalyptic because it's not, but it's just this tremendous cascade of everything happening at once. And that's kind of that's kind of the motto of the first movement, I think. It's just a constant back and forth between orchestra having these singing lines. At one point they do... and then the piano answers... or something where the orchestra has... and the piano... and I love that. It's just a constant back and forth. I won't say too much about the first movement. I want to talk a little bit about some of the others. The second movement is this scherzo. And when I first listened to it, I can't really think of it as that kind of character. I mean, it's marked Allegro Appassionato. It is this, I don't want to say heavy, but it's this full sounding. Again, it's back and forth between the orchestra. But then it has so many of these intimate moments at the same time when the piano comes back after the, I think, double bass and cellos. Because it almost, for me, it resembles kind of a music box almost. It's like, you know, da-da-da-da-da.
Sure, yeah.
I love that kind of imagery. I won't say too much because I know we have to go on, but it's just an absolute monster of a piece. It takes you through a roller coaster of emotions. The third movement is utterly beautiful. It has one of the most gorgeous cello solos. And then the last movement comes out of nowhere, and it's like almost walking on a cloud at times. Just takes you through a whole journey.
You could certainly immerse yourself for a lifetime in the music of Brahms, couldn't you? There's so much variety. There's so much the large as well as the miniatures.
Absolutely. There's an entire realm of and different styles of music by Brahms. I mean, take this in comparison to the first piano concerto. It's just so vastly different. That's what I love about it.
Well, let's see. We have time for something different from the Brahms, I would say. And Frankenstein?
Absolutely.
That's different.
This is very different. Yeah, so just a little bit about how this came to be. I was lucky enough to commission probably my all-time favorite modern composer, Lowell Lieberman, a few years back. And this has been a my own personal dream of mine. I mean, I've been a huge admirer of his works for as long as I can remember. I've listened to his second piano concerto more times than I can count. I literally would fall asleep listening to it, you know, just having that raw emotion in my head. And I was lucky enough that he wrote a piece for me, and I never expected it to be this gigantic 20-minute work. But this is his own rendition of his ballet, Frankenstein. And he took three movements from it, made it highly pianistic, highly virtuosic. And it's just, I think, one of the most brilliant pieces ever written. So this is the second movement from that, which is very different in style than the Brahms, as you'll soon see. But it's quickly become one of my favorite pieces, and I cannot get the melodies out of the second movement out of my head ever.
Thank you.
lovely stuff, providing definitely a contrast to some of the other things you've played today, Maxime.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really excited to play this entire piece at the Farley's house, because the first and the third movements are just a complete wild ride as well. It goes absolutely nuts, but I never know what's coming in this piece, and that's what I love about it.
And after you perform here in Madison, where to?
After Madison, I'm going to go to Lithuania next.
Well, of course, as one does.
I'm really excited for it. It's going to be the first time I'm going to Lithuania, so I heard it's just a beautiful place, so yeah, very excited. Maybe not enough time to see the actual, you know, city of it, but I'll get definitely the gist of it, and probably hope I think there's really good food there, so I'm excited.
Well, I'm sure there is.
That's the main motivation in life.
Well, given the amount of energy you expend, I think you probably burned off at least a whale of amount of calories today.
And that's if only that was true.
little nod toward our quiz question today. Well, thanks for coming in today. We'll look forward to your next visit. 4th of July, remember?
Absolutely.
Stars and Stripes Forever. Stars and Horowitz. Stripes. Our quiz question for today went like this. Identify the creature. The mariner circles and swerves as they rattle his boat and his nerves. Are they playing? Well, maybe, but their rockabye baby might be meant to shake out some hors d'oeuvres. Have you heard in the news lately about the orca whales that have been rocking boats here and there? Nobody knows why exactly. Is it a fad? Is it for fun or hors d'oeuvres? Anyway, orcas is our answer, killer whales. And our winner today, let's see, from among many respondents, John and Carol, who emailed in from Great Abaco in the Bahamas. Speaking of whales, we'll send our prize out to you. It's this book, The Whaler at Twilight. And thanks to Maxim Lando. Thanks to our engineer today, Tom Blaine. Thanks to our FM engineer, Laurie Skelton. And thanks also to Amanda. This is WPR.